Yesterday, what do they call 14th of Valentine? Now, this lady you are seeing here, I've never seen her before. This one. Please take a good look. If she's your sister, please identify by a raise of hand. I've not seen this damsel before. Alright, so let me show you the text. This kind of text, if you answer it, you are guilty. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, how they get my... You see, unfortunately, this number is my office number. So I can't throw it away. If this lady is your relative, all right. Or you need a closer look, because this is an issue. This is a body. Because I called my wife, I said, you have a rival now, right now. All right, let me read the... Happy Valentine, my love. Later, Kuma Selino Kori. Now, if you ask... If you answer this text, it means you are guilty. That's no matter the answer, it means you are already flowing. No matter the answer. I need somebody else to help me with the reading. You need grace from the Lord
Amen. Say happy Valentine, my love. May our love May our love be built in Christ. May our love be built in Christ. Truth, trust, sincerity, honesty. May the Lord bind us with cords that cannot be broken. May the Lord bind us in love. I love you with all my heart. I feel you inside me. Please be my vow.
Be my vow. Now, this is one. This is one of the case studies. This is the life of a pastor. You can sing with this phone easily, and the oil will still be flowing there. So the first thing I did was to bring my wife into the matter. We have a problem here, and now I brought the church into it. Hallelujah. Even when your mind is going towards revival, there are text messages that can be released that will bend your mind. The other day, you know, because anytime I buy a ring, I don't know how to keep rings, I don't know how to keep handkerchiefs. So you get lost. So if the ring is very expensive, so I don't wear rings. Even though I was accused that I was using ring to do signs and wonders. So I stopped wearing wedding ring with permission from my wife, and then the grace to keep a ring, and I lost it in the process. So people see me preaching without a ring. You will not know how many proposals I've had. I mean, there's oil. In fact, it's the oil that is the object of attraction. There's godlessness in the body of Christ. It's a terrible, terrible day to be a pastor. Hallelujah. And when you board flights, you have to stay in the waiting hall to board your flight. It's another world entirely. And once your name, your face is always on Facebook, and people see you when you walk into the waiting hall, everybody knows you, but you don't know that everybody knows you. In fact, it's a security threat. We need to pray for pastors. I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, once upon a time in my life, I had to work in Lagos for 6 years, and my wife was over here. I like to believe that I'm a disciplined man. Right, personal discipline. I like to believe that. When you are in a city like Lagos, you need more than personal discipline to live in holiness. Hallelujah. You need more than that. You need to pray. That is fast. Leave food. If not, you will do something that you will regret later. I know demons that whisper into your thoughts. I've had that experience for 9 months, giving you ideas. And once the whispers begin, you need to ensure that you don't close your mouth. You just keep talking, saying the word of God. All right? And imagine that those whispers continue for 9 months. Meanwhile, you must understand that the devil is aware that if he keeps pressuring you, you are likely to become weaker and weaker. That tendency exists. Now the point is, how far can you stand in the midst of pressure that is determined to make you become a creature that is different from what your call demands? I've seen principalities. Some of them have been my roommates for a while. All kinds of influences. And when you cast them, they don't go. So you know this one has had permission from Baba to be here. So you have to cope with them. You know, I know you don't believe that, but you know, Satan went to heaven to receive permission to be able to tempt Job. So that temptation was lying sense temptation. Alright, lying sense temptation. There are some temptations you can run away from. There are some that will be waiting for you in the office. As long as you are interested in going to the office, you are going to meet that temptation then. And you see, it happens to be that, you know, our ladies here are shy. The ones there have, they know you can't beat them, so they will come. Jesus. Hallelujah. All kinds of stuff. And the reason why the devil is doing that is so that you can get to make just one mistake and then they'll cut you off. No matter the crowd you preach to, when these temptations come, they will meet you alone. You might be strong in public, but there's a strength that you cannot cultivate around the public. And if you have never been alone before, you will not know how to navigate in the days where temptation hedges you into a place where even your wife cannot help. Abraham was alone. Jacob was alone, and an angel did what? Wrestled. Meanwhile, in the body of Christ right now, there are a lot of liberal teachings that are going on. The hyper grace movement. And if you subscribe to those teachings, you are likely to sustain a philosophy that we can do it, come out. But that was not how we were taught when we started the race. And I've studied the Bible a little to understand the consequences that find expression when you go into sin by an act of awareness, an act of consciousness, an act of your will. Whereas other people might go free, you, that you are awake and aware, death will haunt you until it gets you down. You must know that there must be in your life a point of no return in your fraternity with Jesus. Some of us have reached there. This is the only life we have upon the face of the earth. And that's how we will live until we bow down our head and leave the scene. Hallelujah. And every day you live consistent with Jesus Christ is a day that you had access to the grace of God. Now, most of us, we can fight the devil in a congregation like this. But I've seen him come close to me. Close. I've seen him around me for 3 months. I've seen him around me for 6 months. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. If you are not called, don't come into ministry. If the fact that you are called doesn't even make it easier. At some point, you realize that the only basis of survival is that there is grace upon your life. I've seen things that if I share with you, you will not believe. And many of you will be too afraid to continue well. I've died before, if you have not known. Okay, let's leave that matter. Powers beyond powers decided that my time on earth was not yet accomplished. There are little few things that I can fear now. Few things. I've seen too many things. Seen too many things, and there are only few things that I can fear. At the age of 13, that was when my life was decided to end. It took powers to bring me back here. And so when you find in your scripture, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, I have a faint idea of what it means when the Bible says a personality that is a custodian of power. So when he speaks, other minions will have to obey, not because they like what he's saying, it's because he's in custody of power. My coming back to the earth was an act of power. And when I was coming back, I was told that, for your information, young man, you have only one life to live. If you stray out, I know that if I stray out, I'll be cut off. The thing that happened when I was 13 will happen again. My security is in walking with Jesus. Now, I can be tempted, however, I live with the knowledge. A lot of people have so much mercy upon their lives. That is not the case with me, because I was dispatched back into the earth with an instruction. There have been many opportunities for me to compromise my faith in terms of money, in terms of women, in terms of all kinds of stuff. Many, many opportunities for me to come. But I remember that instruction. Alright? Hallelujah. I remember it. That you have only one path to walk. And it's the path of being a messenger of the kingdom. I was told that message at the age of 13. When I walked the streets, I actually made it to heaven. I was in heaven for 8 hours. And I've been begging God for an opportunity to disclose what I saw for 8 hours. It's fresh in my memory. It has made me a captive to Jesus. Every time those demons begin to suggest, you know, you can actually, you don't, you are a teacher. Grace, you know this grace. You will always find redemption. I remember for 4 months, two demons used to visit my room. And they come with a catalog of women. And they said, I should just allow them to kill my wife. They wanted to kill my wife for 4 years. One day I called my wife and said, live forever. That was the day I broke that. Yes, for 4 years after we got married, they tried to kill. But they needed my permission. That there are so many alternatives that I can pick from. Let me just say yes, then they'll do the rest of the job. And I told them that even if I don't have a physical wife again, I'll not remarry. I will live like this. So when I said that, they knew that I would not change my mind about the matter. Then they walked backward. They did not turn to walk. They walked backward like this. So I now called my wife. I said, live forever. But I'm just telling her the reason why I made that call now. I've seen things she don't have to see. You see, it's not good to be a general overseer. It's not a good thing. Okay. It's easy for you to laugh. You know, you like me when I'm a prophet. It's not a good thing. That's why God had to call people to be in it. Because it's not lucrative. Are you with me? And the only thing that keeps you every day is that there is this grace that overshadows you. Hallelujah. When I'm sleeping, when I'm awake, I'm equally strong. There's strength that I've not paid for, that I have access to. And I know that some of you have sworn that I will fulfill this work. I know that. Because sometimes when you pray, I feel your prayers like the hands of 1,000 men touching me. And that's how I get healed when I'm sick. I feel your prayers. It comes like a thousand hands and it begins to touch me. That's the reason why I will not lie sick. No. Because when I come, 5 o'clock in the evening, I know I will be healed. Those hands will come like a thousand hands and they will begin to touch me. And everyone that touches me will leave heat on my body. Heat. Heat. I'd live like that for many years. Hallelujah. I've seen Satan. I've seen Satan when he came to destroy me many years ago. Meanwhile, you must know that I'm a seer. You see, there's a difference between a prophet and a seer. If you are a seer, then you are a prophet. But you can be a prophet and not be a seer. I've seen demons of all sorts and all kinds. But there was a demon I saw that was not afraid of me. Many times when I see demons and I stand like this, I don't need to pray before they leave. They get agitated. But I saw a spirit that was not afraid of me. And I spoke in tongues angrily, didn't even move. So I knew that there is something beyond my scriptural knowledge that is at work. And in situations like that, what you do is that you invoke the authority of Jesus. You call the name of Jesus. You release Jesus against the enemy. Because your own authority has no value in that domain. I've seen that demon. He came and he stood before me for 25-30 minutes as I spoke in tongues. But then I did not know that the way to tackle those kind of ones is to call on the authority of Jesus. Just like Angel Michael did when he came face to face with Satan. And then he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, so invoke it. It's not me. Rebuke is what? I've been in that domain. And when I spoke in tongues, I did not know that I had to invoke the name of one that was higher, under whose covering I stood. I did not know that that was how to handle that battle. The demon looked at me for about 30 minutes. Then he threatened me, said, "I'll be back. When I'm back, I'll destroy you." He came back 9 years later when I was in Lagos. They always keep their appointments. If you think that learning a few scriptures and knowing how to pray in tongues is what it takes to man a gate, you need to be a dead man, very dead man, to man a gate, for demons to inspect you and find nothing in you. It's a treacherous path to walk. Now, many of you see the colorful apparel and all of that. We had to start dressing well because we have television ministry. And they'll have to film us and place for the whole world to see. So you need to be, at least look good. That's the reason why I started dressing well. You know, when we started this walk, I went to that studio to take a picture and they said, "No, you can't take a picture. There's no angle that you'll be fine. Just go back home and eat well for 2 years and come back." I was lean and ugly. Hallelujah. So I took the advice. I tried to put on a little weight so that at least the suit will fit. You know, when you wear suit and the suit is... That was how it was. And I did not fast that much just so that I could survive as a believer. I fasted that much and I still fast that much till this very day because of the assignment that the Lord God has given unto me. Hallelujah. I've been to cities to preach, and while on the pulpit, my eyes are open. Then I see a woman suspended between earth and heaven. And the woman, sometimes she comes out of the moon to contend with me. And I say, you know what? I'm giving charge of everything that is terrestrial. And now that you are coming into my atmosphere, I will not even consider that there's anybody there. If you can do what you came to do, go on. But I came to minister to these people under your captivity. I've seen strange things. While in open air meetings, sometimes you go to preach in some places, sometimes the people that even invite you themselves are possessed. Oh, you not believe that? I have stories to tell. I've been doing this traveling thing for like 18 years. And I've seen the good, I've seen the bad, and I've seen the ugly. Some of the people that invite you are possessed. Some of them know your record. And then they will use that invitation as a means to get you into their territory. But before you came into their territory, they had prepared for you. And how they will begin to suck your blood. The hotel that they will take you to is a hotel. I've been to a hotel that's an altar. Moletami Kabarasu. Death resides in that hotel. Only God knows how many lives were laid in the foundation. The first thing you will notice when you lie on the bed is that the spirit of loss will cleave to you tightly, like a magnet. Hallelujah. I don't want to go further. Because if you are not experienced, you'll be afraid of the ministry. That's the first thing you find out. You dare not come out of that room till the break of day. Because every night the place changes and becomes something else. I stood in those places and I fought against the stars that fought against the earth to put men in bondage. There were several places that we had to go with the instruction not to eat or drink from that land. So you are going to preach and then you now start dry fasting. Dry fasting that you did not plan. Many times the people serving food, when you look at their eyes, you know they are not from us. So you leave their food, the way they kept it, you leave it the next day. When you see them the next day, they say, ah, sorry, it seems you were in a hurry when you were cooking this thing. So that you pass a message, give them an idea that you know what was going on. I've seen strange things on the field. And if you want to live long, you will not choose to be a pastor. And that's why you don't choose the calling chooses you. Hallelujah. This lady has no problem when she married me. All kinds of things began to decide. Maya told me na kaila kubalato samahan. So basically, our assignment, we are called to war. We fight. That's what we do. And you need to know the weapons ability. It's not the anointing to preach that is the main thing. 10% of ministry is what you do behind the pulpit. The rest you do in the territory. Because when I entered into Zaria, the new had come. The new had come. And I also was prepared. Because we just finished fasting. I scanned it. You will think you are used to the terrain. Until you find several symptoms that are not in the locality where you dwell. Satan is universal. But there are dimensions of his oppression you will not find in your locality. There are sicknesses that even doctors from Nigeria cannot diagnose. If they see it, it will take doctors from other territories to diagnose it. I hope you know, malaria fever in the United States of America, in UK, they cannot diagnose malaria. Oh, you don't know that. There's no mosquito there. It will take a gift for a white doctor to be able to diagnose malaria. To take a gift. That's why we have cross-cultural medical practices. You know, you need to pick some guys from this tropical regions and all of that, and then that's when your hospital becomes robust. You will see all kinds of things that you did not plan for. Things that are way beyond your pay grade. And you are expected to deliver. That's when you know that it's not by power. It's not by might. By the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We're still going to pray along that line before I bring a little peace from the Word of God. And I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to pray. And one of the things I learned early was that when God raises a man, he also raises people that will support him in prayer. Those people that really don't want to be known. But what they do is that they put themselves in the way, in peril's way, just to see that what God is doing is sustained. So I knew that early. So I found people among us, which I would never advertise, that's what God has raised them to do. And I was able to identify a few of them, even though I have not known all of them. I want to say that those people, sometimes my faith failed. It was their prayers that saw me through many times. Those people have been the reason why I'm still standing strong. Hallelujah. Even some things I don't see, they will see it first.
God has gifted, I mean, that I speak about with such insight in the spirit. It's been a corporate war. I've never fought alone. Hallelujah. When sickness begins to come upon my body, I feel those hands. And I knew, and then suddenly strength comes out of my bones. We need to pray for everyone that has set the noble call to stand for Jesus and to proclaim the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Hallelujah. And for those that have not yet keyed into this corporate responsibility, you need to think again. Hallelujah. I saw what happened when the great man of God was caught up. Then I understood the scripture that says, strike the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. God has raised us at such a time as this, not because we are better than any other person that call of God upon them. But we know the strategic nature of the calling that He has given unto us. And we are determined to see it come to pass as long as God will supply the grace. And again we'll put the enemy to shame. Those that he thinks that he can cut off, when he comes, he will find a brick wall, something too strong for him to contend. I saw demons of all kinds, also angels of all kinds. Then I knew that when a chieftain in the spirit prays, the natural, what makes his prayer potent is that angels are given charge to respond to his utterance. The major battles are fought overhead. Demons are powerful when there are no angelic rounds to combat with them. And God begins to favor a man. What he does is that he lists his security detail in the spirit around his life. Spirits of vengeance. Hallelujah. Once in a while, in order for God to help you stay in faith, he will open your eyes of understanding to perceive the defense that he has placed around you. The war began before you were born. And it will continue way, way beyond your time of pilgrimage upon the face of the earth. And anything that makes us feel that that world is not real is deception from the enemy. The real thing that happens is not that you are in Uruku. Stand. Hallelujah. So right there, while I want to conscript more people to this work. Hallelujah. Quietly in your closet, pray for this small man. Right? That he will not fall, he will not miss his way, he will not fail, and he will finish strong. Every day. Demons of all kinds. I was praying the other day while we were fasting, and I saw a demon. He had tattoos on his body. Ah, Jesus! So terrible inside. He said, these ones are the new set of demons that have been released to deceive people. They come, they bend, and they whisper to people in their ears. And the people begin to do things that strange things that you not know that they are under demonic influence. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. How many of you here have seen a demon before? A demon. Okay. You have seen demons. There. If I had a board, I would have drawn it. You find a lot of them in hospitals. Hospitals that, you know, anywhere blood is, they are attracted. Hospitals that they sell human blood illegally. Like they'll say, okay, somebody, your daughter wants to give birth, alright? Oh yeah, you come and donate blood. Then you donate. Then you forget about it when she now gives birth normally and you go home. Well, hospitals where they do those blood things, the spirit of death, there are a lot of them you find around. Very slim spirit. Very weak spirit. But it has a specialty. It can separate a man's soul from his body. And he does it with skill. Just one lanky one like that in a ward. Eh? I've seen it before. Do havoc. Hallelujah. We need power to do what we are called to do. And I assure you, even those among us that are elderly, you are not about to leave this world. You are not about to leave. I've seen the future. And I know why the devil fights. But he will not win. In the name of Jesus. So right where you are sitting, we want to pray for every home, every man, every woman that has accepted the noble call to preach the kingdom of God, that the Lord will administer covering over their lives. Can we pray tonight? I invite you to pray. It's a critical piece that our brother raised tonight. You want to also pray for yourself that God will equip you for war. You will not accept no as an answer. Just in case the devil has been walking walks around you, walking walks around your family, you will not accept, you will not take no for an answer. Warriors, don't retreat. Warriors, don't surrender. Warriors are resilient. They insist that the counsel of the Lord alone shall stand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now listen to me. If you are such a person that if the devil begins to manifest, alright? You know, when the devil manifests, what he's trying to do is to get you to read the circumstance from the standpoint of your senses. So much manifestation. So much heat. Body shaking. That's not what we look at. If you look at all those things, then you are not a warrior. You don't even understand what you are doing. Leave the place. Don't go there and be looking at manifestations. Hallelujah. Do you know how to sense your spirit? In a situation where you need to bring deliverance on your spirit instantly. You look at something else, not orchestrations and manifestations. Like most of you, when you begin to hear things happening in the country, you look at all the signs and all the indices, economic indices, security indices. And then you begin to make conclusions. That's not how we operate. It means you are not a warrior. Doesn't matter what you see in the natural. What's the counsel of God about? And if there's a counsel that is contrary to that which you see, a warrior will insist until the counsel of the Lord alone shall stand. And that your activities is a court-based activity. As long as you insist, that court cannot end the session. We are going to pray that God will give us the ability to insist. When you see death coming to pick a man and you begin to labor, you must labor beyond manifestations. And you insist until you, hallelujah, he will come back. Especially if you are in the environment when that death is coming, it's easier. He will come back. Just insist. Stay on the job. Stay on the job. The court session will never end until you stop insisting. And in order for the devil to ensure that you stop insisting, you allow some orchestration, some manifestation. And then babies and children will now begin to weep. Ah! Jesus, when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, hallelujah. When people were crying, what did he say? Thank you. Because you always hear me. He drew that. And you see, in my history, my work with you, you always hear me. And I thank you for that. And then he now. Hallelujah. He was looking at something else. Can we pray for the grace to be able to insist in prayer? Insist in prayer. The grace to be able to insist. To be able to insist. To be able to insist. Miato menezali kabranta babore. Meko basantoli kabalatali abranta bakurima. Mosele topi la kaberakuda. Aito malakumbre saminda hikabahata. This to be able to insist. That's the way of the warrior. That's the way of the warrior. Evil spirits know how to bring me a lot of aberrations. But only a man that is ready to insist can go beyond the game and secure redemption. The counsel of the Lord alone, it shall stand. Maya tobe lakia basanda. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, Zarian, while I was there on Sunday morning, I saw death on two people. Because I see them. But I said, Pastor, there are two people here that are marked for death already in your church. And he was surprised because everybody was looking good, looking pale and healthy. I said, all right, let's put my words to test. I made demands on the power of God, and I demanded that those two people be fished out. The power struck them. And the instruction I had was, don't touch them with your physical hand. Use your handkerchief. And I struck them with my handkerchief. See, we finished that service and left. They were unconscious on the pulpit. Alright? I saw a pot. You know this big pot, if you want to cook for so many people, this big pot that we normally... So I saw that, and it was slanted. And the content that was in the pot were seven demons. I was in the church. And I saw those demons telling me, don't do what you want to do. If you do it, we'll fight it. And when demons threaten like that, it means their secrets have been revealed. So do exactly what they are saying you should not do. A warrior will always insist. Had come. And the Lord had decided that day to bestow a mighty authority upon me that had the ability to dispel the darkness. So when they saw me come in that regalia in the spirit, what I did first was to bind them. When you bind them, you immobilize them. Just like when you make somebody cripple. And the reason why I bound them was so that they will be present to see what I will do. So that if you cast them, they won't see it. So, I immobilize them. Remain there. In fact, your ability, I cut it off. And the Lord now spoke to me. He said, there's a covering cast over this congregation. Go and take permission from the pastor because you are going to do something strange this morning. So I told the pastor, hey, I have a prophetic instruction. Alright? Will you allow me to do what? So I should take water and sprinkle on the people. When I've done that, then I can curse the spirit. I was sprinkling the water, people were manifesting. All kinds of things were happening. The church was under a spell. Because when we were through that Sunday morning, that the real sunlight was able to come through. Hallelujah. You can be pastoring in a place that is besieged. And everybody that comes into that pulpit is marked. A warrior. We insist until the season change. May the Lord grant us grace to stay and to stay continually unto the symptoms and the signs that are inconsistent with the word of God that we have seen change. Well, probably maybe when it's time to talk about warfare, we'll go deep. But the assurance I give you is that even among the elderly people in among us, nothing can take it. Me, I won't go. And you won't go. In the name of Jesus Christ. They will try, but no. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. For those of us young couples and singles, if you did not attend the marriage seminar we did, I suggest you go and get the tape and listen to it again and again and again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 6, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament? Not according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For if the manifestation... Oh my God, sorry. Chapter 4, not chapter 3. The scriptures are so sweet that if you are not careful, you'll be all by yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel be hid, 4 verse 3, it is hidden unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your ministers for Jesus' sake. I don't want to touch that verse. For God who commanded the light shine out of darkness and shine it to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Can we also read as a congregation chapter 4, verse 1 to go? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, the reason why I said we should read verse 1 as the last verse is because the verses that we read are verses that are established on a pedestal. And because of the implication of verse 1, we may need to go back into verse 3 so that we'll find out what ministry he said we have received. That when we are fully acquainted with the ministry that we have received, for which we have to receive mercy so as not to faint, then we can come back to chapter 4 and consider the terpene and the texture of the ministry that we have received. Hallelujah. So we need to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in order to consider the ministry that we have received, for which we have obtained mercy in order not to faint. So now you can turn boldly to chapter 3, from verse 6, so that I will explain unto us the ministry that we have received. And then when we get back to chapter 4, which I hope we will be able to get back to, you will now see the practicality of the ministry that we have received. in the verse that I began to read from, if our gospel the heat. Because in the practicality of the ministry that we have received, we cannot but identify with spiritual warfare. And the reason why a man, after that God has given us a great offer in the sacrifice of his son, the reason why a man will remain unsaved is not because his will is that strong. It's because there are activities that are taking place overhead, and it is part and parcel of our ministry which we have received, for which we secured mercy, not to fail to deal with the situation that is behind such a man that is under the influence of principalities and powers, to the end that his heart and his mind will be darkened. Okay? Alright, are you with me? Now we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now if you have something that looks like a handkerchief that you can borrow me. Not borrow. I think I need to take it. Then you can present it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. He begins with a contrast and a comparison. In order for us to understand the ministry that we have been given, we must understand the contrast and the comparison. I'll get to that in a moment of time. Thank you. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now you are going to underline the glory that excelleth, because I need to explain to us what it means when we say the glory that excels. In the contrast and in the comparison, you will see a glory that is fading away. And a glory that's excelling. Because under the old covenant, I have not finished my reading, I just want to digress now. Under the old covenant, when Abraham, Jesus, when Moses went to the mount to receive the lively tablets, which was the pedestal upon which that covenant would rest. He came from the mountain and his face began to glow. He had interfaced with the God kind and the God realm so much that he was beginning to lose his humanity. Humanity was being saturated, was being overcome by life. Hallelujah. If that guy had stayed on the mountain longer than he did, he would have raptured. That's what rapture means. The Bible says that we have received the earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest is an economics word. It's a buying and selling word. Hallelujah. Have you ever had to, you went to the market, you saw a particular commodity, you wanted to get the commodity, but you did not have the money to get the commodity, and you decided to give a down payment? Have you done that before? And so that down payment that you made secures the commodity for you, even though you don't have what it takes to take it home. But it secures the commodity. And the day you are able to gain the other half, the payment plan, and when you're there and you pay, what will you do? You rapture it. Just trying to tell you the technology behind rapture. The proof that you have been paid for, it's a down payment. the full implication of your price that was paid is not what God has allowed you to enjoy yet. What he did was that he gave us a measure of the Spirit of God. A down payment of the Spirit of God. See, with that down payment of the Spirit of God that we have, you can actually take advantage of the capacities that are in heaven, the capacities that are in God, to run your destiny upon the face of the earth. We are talking about support system for you to get reinforcement from the realm of God on the strength of that down payment that you have received, which is the measure of the Spirit of God that is dominating your heart. That is the investment from which you live your day-to-day life relating to, with Jesus. If God wants to rapture you, it's an easy thing. He has already paid for you, but he decided to delay in coming to pick you up. If he wants to pick you up, what he will do is that the other, he will give you another, the full measure of the Spirit of God in your heart. That will release you into an experience of transfiguration, the kind of experience Jesus had on the mountain of transfiguration, where from inside out, glory began to seize up every trace and every possibility of humanity. You understand what I'm talking about? And he began to glow. Now, this body you are putting on, if God wants it, he may not need to put you to death. He will just release the full measure of the Spirit upon your life. And that measure is going to swallow immortality. That's what rapture is. Did you get that? So what happened about Moses was that he went to the mountain to receive the oracles of God, and he was interfacing with God. That God was interfacing with him, and he didn't know that his mortality was being swallowed up. After 40 days, he had finished the time of intercourse with the divine, and he showed up and he wanted to speak with men, and unfortunately, he didn't know that his countenance was altered, his visage was tampered. And in order for him to relate with men, they said he should take a veil and veil himself, because the brilliance of the light was so intense and they could not stand it. And unfortunately, that became a prophetic sign. We'll look at that in subsequent readings. Hallelujah. But one thing they did not know about the glory that came upon the face of Moses was that that glory was fading away. It was not meant to remain. You see, the law was not God's approved way of regulating the life of his people. And that's why on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses had to appear. How I pray I get to the scripture I open. Amen. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses appear. Now, Elijah and Moses represents the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets were the way God dealt with his people before Jesus showed up. And if you check the law and the prophets, the philosophy behind the law and the prophets is that if you're going to seek God, you will seek him secondhand, either through a book or through a man. Hallelujah. But the kingdom was bringing something that was superior to the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets was a step-down mode of God's dealings with his people. Now that the kingdom had come, the law and the prophets will have to surrender so that the kingdom can take the center stage. It is in the kingdom that God can speak to a man's heart directly. That's a technology that is superior to having the law and the prophets. And so God's intention was not to have the law as the operating system of his dealings upon the face of the earth. I don't have time to press into that. Well, I have time. Anyway, I stop for the day. But where I'm going is, if our gospel be heed, hallelujah. Now, are you still with me? You see, everything that God does, the laws of God, they derive from the nature of God. And if you are, we can't go that far. It will take us too far away. Okay, let's leave that. Let's leave that. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I wanted to take us to, you see, the laws of God, they derive from the nature of God. And what happened in the day of Moses was that God decided that he will reveal himself as the righteous. Right? The righteous. And you know, righteousness is part of the nature of God. Holiness is part of the nature of God. You know that? Grace is gracious. It's part of the nature of God. He's merciful. It's part of the nature of God. The operating system that was available in the Old Testament was that God wanted to be seen as a God of righteousness. At the end of that experiment, the Bible says that count righteousness. No man shall be justified. I don't want to press into why. The reason is because on the account of the fall, we became non-spiritual. We lost the access route into the spirit realm. We lost the possibility of receiving help from the spirit realm. We became measured into time as just of flesh and blood. We were disconnected from the realm of our reality. And we became a mutation of God's intention upon the face of the earth. Now, so there was no help. The law is spiritual. We are carnal. We cannot satisfy a law that is spiritual when we are carnal. The problem was not with the law. The problem was with us. And because of the problem we had, that could not be the standard way of God's dealings with humanity. Are you with me? And so, even though God will not stop being God the righteous, God decided to bring something else, to add something else. Are you with me? What he did in Jesus. Now, when he sacrificed Jesus upon the cross, what he did was that he introduced the principle of substitution. Principle of substitution was the only methodology that God had to express himself to us as a God of mercy. Because what he did was that he brought judgment upon Jesus. So that we drink from the liberty that Jesus has by being Jesus. Substitution. Our judgment came upon Jesus. Jesus' life and access is now available to us. The only way God could be merciful is that he was righteous. He judged Jesus with his righteousness. And then he made mercy available to us. Because our judgment was laid upon Jesus. And Jesus's everything that Jesus was and had in the spirit was made available to us. So he initiated an economy and accepted that the new operating system was mercy. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? And that's why you must understand that even though grace is the fuel, the spiritual fuel that we function in, you cannot obtain grace until you have found mercy. And so the Bible says that we should come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain before you now find. So if you don't obtain mercy, you cannot find grace. So it's an economy of mercy. That's what makes grace available. Are you with me? You know, I digress to say this so that you understand the general overview of the Bible and the way God operates. Differences between the covenants. Are you still with me? So when Moses came down from the mountain, his face began to glow. But unknown to them, they did not understand that in the economy of God, that which Moses came with is not going to be the standardized way of God's reaching to man. And any glory that that covenant had whatsoever was a glory that was fading away. Alright? And so when the Bible says that we are able ministers of the new covenant, we are not according to the letter. He was talking to about the tablets of stone. We are according to the spirit. For the letter killeth. Why? Why did the letter kill? Because when we had not yet given our lives to Christ, the letter was judged to us. There was no way you will not break one of those commandments. So the letter was sent to death. But it's the spirit that gives us life. And that spirit, anytime you see the spirit substituted for grace, it's through grace that we have access to life. See, that's what makes us able ministers. Because our covenant is not with the letter. Our covenant is in the spirit. And that's the only possibility for us to have life. Now, so the Bible reveals, so there's a contrast and a comparison between the covenant Jesus brought, that which Jesus brought. And I want to strike a chord before I proceed to the next chapter. If you are still following me, say amen. Hallelujah. Alright. For are you still there in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 11? For if that which is done away was glorious, much more. Oh, I said that I will explain what the Bible means by the glory that excelleth. Let me do that before I proceed. Hallelujah. Now, this is what it means. You know, the glory that was upon the face of Moses was fading away. the glory that we have access to in this covenant. Because the personality of glory is actually the Spirit of God. That's the personality of glory. It's the Spirit of God that holds the patent to expose you to the civilization that is in heaven. And without the Spirit of God, you cannot be a participant and a partaker of the civilization that is in heaven. And the intention of God is that we'll not be mortal, we'll not be human, but we'll be men that have the capacity of God to operate upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God is the personality that introduces us to that dimension of reality. He is the one that holds the key to that civilization. And the Bible reveals that whereas the glory that was upon the face of Moses was fading away because that was not God's ultimate standard approach to reach to humankind. The glory that we have access to on the account of the sacrifice of Jesus, which is of the Spirit, is a glory that excelleth. Now, see, when you gave your life to Christ, you were not this powerful. Is that true? You had the potentials in you, but those potentials were not yet made manifest. It's just like when a woman becomes pregnant. She's pregnant by a seed. When you gave your life to Christ, you were born again by a seed. Even though that seed is not corruptible. The seed is incorruptible, but it's a seed nonetheless. Then it comes to pass when you begin to walk with God and you begin to receive ventilation in the Holy Spirit, and that seed begins to grow and begins to expand, begins to influence your thoughts, begins to influence the way you use your money, influence the places you go to, influences what you wear, influences all kinds of stuff. So your wisdom is derived from that which is operating within you. And as you keep walking on the path, the glory does what it excels. Are you seeing the contrast and the comparison? And I need to tell you quickly before we proceed. Oh my, there's a mighty grace to the Bible this night. But we are not here to teach, okay? We are here to pray. The difference between the old covenant and the new is one thing. In the new, there is the help of the Spirit. So anything you do in the new covenant that doesn't sum up in the help of the Spirit is religion. I don't have time to break that. But I pray I have time before May to sit with you people to do Bible study. Then I'll explain what salvation is. I hope we'll do that. Hallelujah. Verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. For if that which is done... Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. He's telling us about the ministry we have been called into. He says, seeing then that this kind of hope is what God holds for everyone that comes into covenant with Jesus Christ, when we are ministering to other people, we use what? Great plainness of speech. Now, as a marketer, you have a problem with your marketing if the product that you are marketing is not a good product. But if, by any means, the product that you are sent to market is a good product, you'll be confident in not the product. It says, seeing that what? Can we read that verse as a congregation? Seeing that we have this hope, we use what? Great plainness. There is a hope that God has made available to every man that walks the world. Because Jesus did not die for the church. Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus is a gift to the world and the Holy Spirit is a gift to the church. Every man that walks this earth is a would-be Christian. A would-be believer. Seeing that we have this hope, we use what? Great plainness of speech. I think I'll stop there. The journey is too long, so let's just stop this journey. Great plainness of speech. The other day, lesson was, you cannot say you are witnessing if you don't understand the context of witnessing. Are you still with me? Oh my. Sometimes as if you are lost. Amen. Witnessing has a context. The word witness is a legal register. It's a courtroom register. If you use it outside of that context, you may not understand the gravity of the meaning of the word. Jesus is in the dock. And a lot of people, humanity is coming to examine him. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He has said that himself. Humanity does not believe. And in the courtroom, you need witness. You need exit. You need proof to actually support a point in order to prove beyond every reasonable doubt that that point is articulate and is valid. And that point is not subject to contestation. So you are going to be the functionary that will come and bring the evidence about Jesus in court. Because every human is a judge. He has capacity to process and analyze. And it is because of our capacity to process and our capacity for analysis that we have received Jesus or we have not received. So what you do is that you present evidences for Jesus. So you are witnessing unto him. So that judge, who is that young man or that young lady, will come to a point where Jesus is vindicated and indeed he's confirmed to be Lord and Christ, and he will be accepted as such. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, seeing that we have received, that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So we'll stop there, but I'd like us to analyze that verse from the original language. If you are still with me, say amen. But my teaching will continue next time we meet together like this, so that I can take you into seeing that we have received this ministry. You know, first of all is this. Seeing that we have what? Such hope. We use great plainness of speech. And then seeing also. What does seeing mean in that scripture? Seeing. Anybody helping us? Seeing that we have such hope. Jennifer, what does seeing mean? Seeing. Don't be afraid. Just. It's not mathematics. It's not. Seeing that. Coming into revelation, the knowledge, is just like when you are doing some sums in mathematics. And you have two variables, and the x variable and the y variable. And then you are given what the x variable is. X is equal to 2. That's the equation. And then you can find that. So, seeing also means giving that. You know, X is equal to 2 means X is given. But X is already established. So seeing that we have what? Such hope. That means it is given. It's already revealed that what? We have such hope. And what hope does he speak about? The hope that he speaks about here is the hope that the glory that we have in this covenant is not a glory that is fading away, but it's a glory that it excels. So your best day has not yet come. As long as you are alive in Christ Jesus, your better days are ahead of you. Because the glory is a glory that what excels. It is a taboo for a Christian to have a better yesterday. And every reference about your life that you are making is a reference about a yonder time. You have been dislocated from the commonwealth of the covenant that establishes you in grace. Help me, I want to fly.
I hear sounds in the spirit. I hear sounds. The devil will always be threatened. Because if he didn't kill you yesterday, it was easier for him to have killed you yesterday. And he let you leave you. And the glory has excelled. It means we have a more terrible situation on ground than if he could not kill you when you were 5 years old. Could not kill you when you were 7 and you were lost in sin, hoping to adorn the devil with a crown. And we're all around. And he could not kill you in that day. Now that you have realized yourself in Christ Jesus, it's a more trouble for Satan. Because it's not a glory that fades away, it's a glory that excels. Now listen, the circumstances and the situations you are in today are the way they are because of the glory you have tapped into for now. Once you tap into higher levels of civilization in the realms of grace and you gain more age in grace, the fetters and the chains that hold you bound right now will be incapacitated of his own free will, because we are in a covenant that guarantees that the glory that you have access to, the glory that is upon your life, the glory that is the reinforcement mechanism from heaven, is a glory that what? It's a taboo for you to have that yesterday. And that's why I believe this is the best days of our lives. Huh? Tomorrow are better days of our lives. And it keeps becoming better and better, because the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Your root out of the civilization among men will not be a root of defeat. Rapture is not a rescue strategy, it's red carpet reception. It's a glory that what? And I want you to believe, it doesn't matter the minions of witchcraft that have mobilized against your life, against your destiny. What the devil cannot fathom is the capacity that we have in the Spirit of God. And that capacity is not a capacity that fades away. It's not something he can manage. Even if he has developed equipment that understands you on this level, before the break of day, you must have found favor with God and your territory must have enlarged. You will need to conduct another experiment to know what capacity you have now. And you see, and God keeps enlarging the place of your tent, enlarging your capacity, so that a time comes when one man is as strong as an army. We can have that capacity. Because the Bible says that by one prophet, God brought an entire people held under captivity to the 12 gods of the civilization of Egypt. One prophet. I was full blown prophet brought an entire nation out of captivity. Contended the land, discomfited the spirits of darkness. What's the name of that spirit? My history has gone. Anubis, the keeper of men. In Egyptian history, there is this creature. He is the keeper of the underworld. He governs the city steps. He is the one that is the master of the underworld. Hallelujah. When you come face to face with death, it is only life that can triumph. And unfortunately for the devil, the covenant we have is not with death. The covenant we have is with life. And that was the first time that Anubis was defeated, when Moses came upon the scene. Because it is believed that all mortals will end in death, and only that which cannot die will be able to conquer Anubis. And when Moses came with a rod, he looked beggarly, he looked sick, he looked half starved. Oh my. But what he came with was such that has never died and could not die. That was the only thing that could bring vengeance to the underworld.
only that which had no trace or origin from death. And that was why Jesus was called by the title the resurrection and the life. If Satan knew, he wouldn't have admitted him into hell. Because he could trace his lineage, his ancestors, his ancestry, his beginning. Hallelujah. You will discover there's no beginning. Death has no authority around you. Every minute you spent in hell was treachery to the kingdom of darkness. Because the devil was coming to contend with something that had no end, that had no limit, that had no beginning, no end. And in hell, Anubis failed again. And Jesus rose from the dead. Because the glory that he bore, glory that cannot die, glory that excels. The Bible says, seeing that we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech. What it means is the commodity that we have to offer. It's a commodity that you cannot find there under the authority of any other in heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth. It will be by Jesus and by Jesus only. It was Jesus that said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Such a personality doesn't need advertisement for his importance. He says, seeing that we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech. When you go out to preach the gospel to the lost, you're going armed with the understanding of man's basic need. Man's basic need is redemption. And there's only one that can offer it. He is an immortal. Death could not hold him captive. He is the Lord of the heavens, Lord of the earth, and Lord beneath the earth. And that's why, in order for you to come into the contract of salvation, you must believe that he is immortal. And it is because of his immortality that death could not hold him captive. He had to rise from the dead. And you have to believe in his lordship. How that he is monarch. How that he is the icon. There is no throne as hallowed as his throne. There is no authority that you have seen, either in the spirit or in the natural, who has the kind of capacity that he has where he is domiciled. He must be acknowledged as the sovereign, as the immortal, as the Lord, as the governor among the nations. And that's why the Bible says, because we have received this hope, we use great plainness of speech. Jesus not to cry out for relevance. He is relevance himself. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. If the devil knew, he wouldn't have admitted him. Hell was for people that had beginnings. Beginnings in death. So they'll have endings in death. And hell met a man. A man that had no beginning whatsoever. You couldn't trace him to a starting point. He his existence itself. By him, everything consisted. And there was nothing that was made that existed that was not made without him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That was an equation that hell will have to deal with. And the fact that hell discovered that not everyone can come into captivity. One had to be released. Hell had to detach. You are a strange species. You cannot dwell among us. But by those 3 days that he was kept captive, that none of us will have accommodation under the authority of Anubis. And if any man can believe him, the life immortal, life without end, will be imputed unto him. Since we have this hope, we use what? Great plainness of speech. There is none of us that is exempted. If you know that this hope exists, then you are a debtor for all mankind. To the white, to the black, to the gray, to the Caucasian, to the Arab, to the African. We pray tonight because we are knowledgeable of this hope, that God will bestow upon us grace. How I wish one day I can teach you about Jesus. great monarch. Anytime you are afraid, look at Jesus. Think about Jesus. When you are sick and you are immobilized, you are lying down and you have drip in your hand, just begin to think about Jesus, the immortal, the invincible. The Bible says that Moses left the entire glory of Egypt and wandered into the wilderness. And if you ask him why, he will say, I saw him that was invincible. Nothing else on earth makes sense. Nothing else. The pillars of ivory that was raised in Egypt. The stones of fire. The carvings of the cobra. The 12 signs of the zodiac. Nothing could compare to his majesty. We are called to make him known and to proclaim his majesty. I'd like us to pray as we receive grace tonight. Oh my, I see the glory of God. Glory of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of his words will fall to the ground without finding fulfillment. The God that cannot lie, the God that is not a man, the God that is immortal, invincible, all powerful, for his is the kingdom, for his is the power, for his is the glory. Because he lives, we shall live also. Doesn't matter what sickness threatens your life, because he lives, you will live also. Doesn't matter what the devil has come to do, the things that he has quickened around your life to take away your joy, because he lives, we shall live also. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Not one word, not one jot, not one tittle. He can turn everything around. He has no covenant with death. There is no death in him. There is no darkness in him. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For it is God that commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. He has shined in our hearts. Mosalama. I don't know what makes you doubt. What makes you doubt is omnipotence, his fire, his power. I don't know what makes you doubt. You have not seen the great monarch of Zion, the invincible, full of light, full of brightness. There is no end to his glory. Kuma Saleboma. Amalita Kaskebola Maratia. Isomande. Brate ko samali, receive the grace of God to be the mouthpiece of this great King. O Marika Selaboma, yeke ko baba. For it is written, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord alone must be praised. He is worthy, the one that burns with fire in his eye. We give you glory and praise. You will not lose anything
in following him. Rather, you gain everything. He's the God of life. In him there's no darkness at all. We will not die, but we'll live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living. Sukabarise, Heto Mekaberose, I will be his messenger. I will carry his voice from nation to nation, giving him glory. Kumba sabe no kopele kenda. Glory to the name of the Lord, the God of gods. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Aha! Kupa Santa Baboya. Seeing that we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech. Great plainness of speech. Kombre seko mama la telia. Iko basanga baboria samana. Glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Ponta basuka babalatebo. Ponta basan. Take a good gaze at Jesus. Take a good gaze. Take a good gaze at Jesus. If you see him well, if you see him properly, nothing, nothing. There is nothing besides him. He is all by himself in his monarchy, the great monarch of Zion. You are his messenger. You proclaim his kingdom. You proclaim his glory. You proclaim his power. Glory to your name.